Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, we're really embracing it. You know, this one thing, this one characteristic of your masculinity, that if you embody this one part, your queen will be wet and yearning you. It's a bold statement, but it's a true statement. And it's like, I want that for you. You know, it's part of deep men's work. And a lot of the times we hide away from owning our deep desires. You know, those explicit sexual desires of how we'd really want our relationship, our sexual intimate relationship to go for us. There's a lot of taboo about it, but owning that, you know, I put it in there. It's like, man, every husband wants to be able to access some state of being in his embodied masculinity that, like, just naturally, energetically, your woman, your divine queen, your beautiful wild wife just is wet and yearning for you to take her into sexual bliss. It's important. I feel it intuitively very important to state that. And like, I want you to touch base early on in this conversation. Is that something you want? You know, if it's not, well, maybe you're not so interested in what I've got to say in this. But to be honest, I mean, every guy that I have spoken with, deep down, when you get into a safe space and you start speaking to these things in a safe and radically direct and honest way, every guy goes, yeah, man. The tragedy of modern life, though, is it's the furthest thing that can be true. I've spoken before, you know, the vast majority of times the first partner to lose interest in sexual intimacy is the female partner, it's the wife. 70 to 90% of divorces that are filed by women. Again, it's women that are disengaging statistically way more often. The greatest enemy of deepening sexual intimacy is man's inability to be with his inner emotional and psychological intensity in the face of life's challenges. Just slow down. Like, it's quite the statement, but I really want you to hear this. Like, the greatest enemy of deepening sexual intimacy, and this is over, like, you know, we're in this sacred container together. We're powerful, heroic husbands. We're showing up in the arena of marriage. It's a long-term, deep, committed relationship. You know, it's like we're pretty much all playing with the one commitment, and it's a lifelong commitment. And yet it's an exceptional challenge. And the greatest enemy of developing and evolving and deepening sexual intimacy is our inability to be with our inner emotional and psychological intensity in the face of life's challenges. We're going to be unpacking this throughout today's episode, but this is the greatest enemy. And if it's the greatest enemy to deepening sexual intimacy, that's the greatest enemy to marriage. Time and time and time again, like, this is the golden thread. Even if there's plenty of different reasons of, you know, reasons why women file for divorce, or the core golden thread in arguments, the your top three issues, the top three issues that your woman will have with you. Every guy's woman will have, like, the top three. It's like, oh, these are the common threads. It's the same old patterns. It happens. Definitely happened with me for 12 years and beyond, where it was like same shit, different day. So the important part here in the context of today's thing, it's the emotional and psychological intensity in the face of life's challenges. A woman's essence equals life's essence. So your capacity and inability or ability to be with your inner emotional and psychological intensity will, you know, how you show up with your woman in deep intimacy will relate quite a bit with how you show up in life in general, in the challenges of life. If there's to be one side that is most challenging for men, it's your woman's essence. Sometimes we can bring such a sense of control over, you know, our economic situation, our work situation. We can sort of get into a comfort zone of, you know, the known. We're become, you know, really competent in the areas of life that we're doing sort of outside the family home. But a woman's essence is unpredictable, untamable, unboxable. That's the feminine essence. But you will find that life's essence, you know, beyond the parts that you control, life's essence is unpredictable, untamable, unboxable. That's the feminine essence. This is why, you know, when we're at our most excited and most enlivened and bold early in a relationship, we're loving the unpredictable, the untamable, the unboxable part of our women. It's like it rips us out of our rational mind. It's what attracts us the most. And also life's essence. You know, you go traveling, you know, after college, you go get your backpack, you go traveling around the world. Why? It's beautiful. You're feeling full of life because of the unpredictable, the untamable, the unboxable levels of experience that comes at you. It's this variety is the spice of life type thing. However, that's all well and good when everything is going sort of like your way, when the variety and spice of life is sort of pleasurable to you. But when life's essence and your woman's essence, the unpredictable, untamable and unboxable parts, hits you with shit that knocks you off your center, this is what we're talking about. And the flip side of that, if the greatest enemy of deepening sexual intimacy is our inability to be with intensity, inner intensity in the face of challenges, well then, the greatest support to deepening sexual intimacy is your capacity to be with intensity. Like, the hallmark of true masculinity is this embodied capacity to be with the intensity of the moment. It's like this core willingness to withstand and endure whatever has been placed on your path, your spiritual path as a man. Like the core of ferocious, the most beautiful embodiments of masculinity is when, you know, as men, we face that up. And we find a way to withstand, endure whatever the external challenge is in the moment. We do whatever inner work is needed to be with that intensity, and we prevail. Think for a minute of, you know, some of the people that we end up applauding as men the most. I might go with cultural generic ones. The more popular ones, there's plenty of ones down the years and in different nooks and crannies, and you'll have plenty of guys that you will have great honouring for that mightn't be famous per se. But like, think of like UFC fighters, a Conor McGregor on the way to the top. Think of a Kobe Bryant or a Michael Jordan in basketball. Think of Elon Musk or, you know, equivalent guys in the field of intense economic endeavor and adventure in the financial world. Think of like a Navy SEAL commander working in the literal life and death scenario of a battlefield. Like, our masculine core gets turned on when we witness these guys in action, when we listen to their stories. You know, you hear motivational videos or you hear an interview with them, and you just, the insights of, you know, what it is that allows them to show up in the battlefield, in the sports arena, in such an intense external situation. But these men find ways to endure that, to prevail, and to come out the heroes the far side. By and large, to become our heroes, to become guys that, you know, we sort of speak about them, or we think about them almost like with a badge of honor. It's like, oh, I really like that. Like, we can get almost fanatical to a point, and hey, just no judgment, all is okay, but it's just our masculine core gets turned on by them. Why? Because we're witnessing, fundamentally, they have this incredible capacity to be with intensity. You might never have had, like, put the words on it, but that's, like, at the core of it, is it not? There's this unquestioned sort of thing. It's like, man, like, how the hell can they do that? Like, wow, there's that depth of admiration. Now, if our masculine core gets turned on and, like, we start relating with these guys with, this depth of admiration and respect and honoring, we can become immense lifelong fans of them or fans for a period of time, whatever. Can you imagine what the feminine core in our women, how the feminine core responds to such type of men? And I'm not talking about like the ones like how did they respond, they get turned on by sports stars or that, but if they were in the presence of these guys, like, and more how they respond in the presence of a man who has this incredibly developed capacity to be with intensity. Like, actually, spontaneously, part of the feminine core would also go, I'm not so fucking impressed by you being able to be like an all-star basketball player. I couldn't give a shit. Like, UFC fight, I think that's brutal. You know, like, Navy SEAL commander, like, what the fuck, you'd like war? I don't agree with war. You know, Elon Musk, I like going to the moon, get off your shit. Like, the feminine core actually would be really intense. What I'm really drawing here is this key capacity. And the feminine core with her life partner, your woman gets red hot turned on when you've demonstrated your capacity to be with intensity. The question is, how often, how frequently, how consistently do you embody that capacity? Let's get really real here. Or do you back off very often? Think about your capacity to be with intensity in your relationship when she's giving you, you know, well, feedback, but you perceive it as being like stinging feedback. It's criticism. Do you feel your system backing off the intensity of that? Or passionately making love, do you back off like when she goes to dark sides of her sexual expression? Does it ever become too much? Do you ever feel like you shut down when you back off the intensity of her ecstatic joy and bliss? Very often it can be the other side. You know, a lot of guys sort of resonate with her moodiness in the lows that she brings, in the amount of, you know, where her emotions can go with the so-called negative emotions. So many guys that I've been speaking with, actually, when their women go totally ecstatic, go totally, you know, with this outlandish, intense love and joy, the guys very often shut that down unwittingly. It's all about the capacity to be with intensity or not. If you want to look for evidence of this, you know, very often women end up, there's this frequent experience that they fall in love with their therapists. Why? Think about it. What does a therapist do? Sits there, holds space for whatever emotional and psychological intensity that the woman has a deep need to express from. It's there. Unshakably there. It's not going anywhere. It's like, you know, same time next week. And for every second, every minute of that meeting is completely present and is at one and will breathe through whatever intensity is there and just ask the next question and can go there and meet the woman, like, moment to moment, word to word, expression to expression, emotional charge, whatever it is, meets her there. It's so captivating for the feminine core when, in the presence of a man like that, the falling in love, like, is there like, oh, true love, whatever, but like, well, what is love? It's a nervous system response of an incredible deep emotional experience and connection with a human being. It's not to go into the whole poetry or the whole like philosophical breakdown of what love is, etc., etc. But this happens very often. Therapists have to be really aware of it and keep rigorous boundaries set. But it does happen. So, as always, leaning in, you know, with heroic humility and just getting really real with yourself of like, how do you show up with your woman in moments of intensity? And also, how do you show up in moments of life intense, of life's challenges that feel very intense to you? You know, moments of illness or moments when, you know, finances aren't going your way. When life's challenges are put on your path, how do you respond with that? Do you end up freaking out? Do you ignore them? Do you dissociate? Do you go around stressed out? Or do you breathe into it and, in breathing into it, find ways to get extra turned on to your conscious presence, your power, and you actually, you know, like, no pressure, no diamond. You just, like, it's go time, right? You just learn to embrace that intensity. Most guys, if we're being really, really honest, there's going to be quite a bit of, yeah, well, I tend to back off in those moments. I tend to shut down quite a bit when the emotional intensity happens in relationships specifically. But a lot of guys will be like, yeah, I actually come back off, like, a lot of whole life responsibilities, like work, you know, when I get feedback from ones at work or finances don't go good, I shut down, et cetera, et cetera. Or there's deep challenges with in parenting. I'd rather, you know, just somebody else sort it. Can the teachers not just sort this? Like, we sort of tend to offload because why? The intensity of meeting all of life's demands, we mightn't have done, and in the vast majority of cases, we haven't set ourselves up to support our nervous system meeting the many demands that modern life has put upon us. So we end up backing off the intensity of it. This all has a massive impact on our women and how they relate with us. I shared before, I had like one of my biggest revelatory learnings as a man in the last 3 or 4 years since my marriage breakdown, breakthrough, shit heap situation that I just had to face and find a way to move through. One of my biggest experiences was during my breathwork training. I've spoken about this many, many, many episodes ago, but I want to bring it back up because it's very much the learning was on this topic of how I was relating with intensity. My breathwork training involved, well, many different training modalities and processes, but one of the training protocols was doing breath hold training, which is like take a tiny breath in, breathe out, peg my nose, close my mouth, and get walking. And I had to get up to 100 steps and then do breath calming, recovery, and repeat. So definitely with asthma, but I think it'd be quite challenging for any person to just do that as a first off experience. It was like brutally intense. I found it was crazily intense to the point at which I was coming in to my queen after the trainings, and I was like, oh man, this breathwork training, it's causing me deep anxiety. It's causing me, I'm like, of all these fears coming up, it's causing me, you know, these immense emotional experiences. And then at one point, I just realized, I was like, first of all, it's not causing me anything. It's revealing all these emotions that have been locked in the system. But what it ended up revealing that was most important, and I really want you to hear this. Well, I want you to hear every single thing I'm saying clearly, but to really put the magnifying glass on this part, what it revealed was I was trying to cope with the emotional intensity by tensing up. I was like, this thing is causing me. So I was like, causing me. And it's like, it was like this hateful part of the experience. and my whole body would tense up to try and burst through. It's like if I just tense up, I don't have to feel the emotion, tighten up my tummy and just fucking burst through it. But the more I was tensing up, the more intensely I was feeling the emotional charge, and actually it just was a really horrible experience. What I ended up learning to do was that the moment when the first wave of, you know, fear or anxiety came through, instead of tensing up, I trained myself to, by default, relax. My whole training came perfectly after that. I was failing to have any breakthrough for months and months and months because I was pushing way too hard and I was tensing up. So my whole physiology, my neuropsychology, the whole system was in this, just this real intense shutdown mode of tension. What this whole thing revealed to me is it revealed that my relationship with intensity, emotional intensity in my inner world, was coped with by this not so constructive response of tensing up. Now, I don't know of one guy that I've held space with in men's groups. I don't know of one guy that has had a one-on-one coaching conversation with me that hasn't had this reaction set down in his nervous system. Definitely within intimate relationship, but like the vast majority of guys will go, yeah, actually, even guys that have created and continue to create on a daily, weekly basis astounding financial success, they all pretty much reveal to me, it's like, yeah, Mark, when you put it like that, I do feel, and as they work with me, they go, yeah, I'm just noticing there's this incredible body tension that comes in those moments, and I just burst through. But without any fail, 100% of the time, these guys have said, yeah, in their marriages, in their deep intimate relationships, in their deep communication, that when the intensity would come up in their woman's emotional intensity, what she was expressing, what she was feeling in a moment, in an argument, very often in sexual intense moments, that they would tense up. And that this was a turnoff to their women. It was like not, they were, over the years, this was creating major issues of trust. And this is where it's so important. Tension equals fear. When we experience fear, we tense up. It's like a fight or flight. Oh shit, I'm about to die. The muscles tense up because it's like, I'm either going to have to punch my way out of this, or I'm going to have to scale that like 10-foot wall, or just run like my life depends on it. Fear equals tension. You know, that the fear response is an amazingly productive and constructive response of our organism when it's in pure fight or flight. So the important thing here is our women's nervous systems are reading this response all the time. Not just that, it's just like our general energetic response in the moment. So if we react with tension and they see muscular tension in their face, and it's not that they go, oh, look, there's muscular tension in his forehead. Oh, look, he's tensing up his jaws. He's clenching his jaws. Maybe, you know, some wives, I've heard, you know, some wives are trained psychotherapists, et cetera, et cetera. They might have the professional background. But irrespective of professional conscious competence in being able to read the signs, every single woman, every single one of your wives listening in, I don't have to ask you, what's her skills? What's her competence? What's her training? I don't have to ask that. Every single one of them will pick up instantaneously when you're feeling fear, when there's tension in your muscles, in your body, in your tone of voice. It changes everything. So from fear, they cannot open. Sexually, they cannot open in communication. They're not going to feel safe. Hence, they won't open up. If they're not opening up, they're not going to feel heard or listened to. They're going to keep their cards close to their chest until you drop in. So tension equals fear. Relaxation equals presence. And presence equals trustworthiness. And if you keep that, those dominoes going, relaxation equals presence. Presence equals trustworthiness. Trustworthiness means your woman is feeling completely safe. And her safety allows her sexually open up. Her sacred yoni, her sacred garden, to completely lie back, open, to fully receive your incredible, conscious, penetrative loving of her, into full spiritual, energetic, and emotional bliss, only when you are relaxed. Then there's presence, trustworthiness, she feels safe, and full sexual opening up. Her literal center, like, comes wet naturally, and she's yearning you. Why? Because in the face of intensity, of her intense challenge, of life's challenges, you, when you meet that in a relaxed way, she's like, you're, she's feeling your presence, your trustworthiness. She just wants to get it on with you long term. And the beautiful thing about this, and what, like, it's, this is marriage as an invitation to the path of self-mastery for you. Most guys relate with marriage being like the path of self-misery. It's like, you know, can't live with her, can't live without her. Like, we say these jokes, but we actually relate with our women and with our marriage experience like that. It's like, oh man, it's just a self-misery. No. Instead, start looking. Again, this is like just repetition is master. I keep repeating these ideas, these concepts. Marriage as a path to self-misery, or marriage as a path to self-mastery. When you learn, and it's a skill that you can learn, to relax in the face of, you know, outer challenge of your woman, whatever that whole spectrum of challenge she brings to you direct, one-to-one in marriage, if you learn to relax into that and remain present and trustworthy, she opens up. And now you have this upward spiral of, oh my God, how did I ever come to meet this guy? It's like, oh my God, he just gets better and better. It's like, you're just like a good wine, you know, you just get better as you get older. There's no limit to how deep your sexual intimacy can go. How deep, there's no limit to how deep her trust of you, her admiration of you, her seeing you as her hero, as her conscious king. There's no limit, but only if you choose to see marriage and the challenges of life and marriage as invitations to deepening your practice of self-mastery. The really essential core part is the intensity that you feel has nothing to do with how she's showing up and nothing to do with what's showing up in your life. Intensity is how your nervous system reacts to how she's showing up and how life is showing up for you. Remember, I've spoken to this before, the primary masculine feminine versus the secondary masculine feminine. Guys get totally caught up that, you know, holding space for your woman or trying to deal with external situations. The secondary masculine feminine, the masculine pole is you, predominantly, being the male pole, the role of husband in a relationship, and the feminine pole in the arc of polarity, keeping sexual attraction as a really important thing. The feminine pole is held in the embodiment of your queen. We end up getting caught in this sort of subject object, like, if you feel emotional intensity, it's like she's causing it. So you could have intense happiness. Oh, she's the cause of it. I feel so much love. Oh, wow. But she's the cause of it the opposite side. She's like, oh, I feel so much anxiety. It's because she's judging me. I feel so much fear. It's because I fear she's going to leave and she's inherently untrustworthy. Blah, blah, blah. It's like she's the cause of it. Where the most important part is, like, your emotional response and your psychological response, that's all in your primary masculine-feminine experience. What that means is your masculine part inside of you is your witnessing awareness. The masculine practice is embodied consciousness. And your primary masculine-feminine relationship inside of you is finding that conscious presence, that embodied consciousness. Eckhart Tolle calls it the witnessing awareness that can witness and hold space for, you know, all the unpredictable thoughts that come up in you, the emotional charges moment to moment. And you hold space within that, realizing always the intensity of what you're feeling has all to do with how your nervous system reacts to how she's showing up and life is showing up. It has nothing to do. There's no inherent good or bad in how she shows up. There's nothing inherently good or bad in how life shows up for you. This is really key. I've shared this before, but I just really love, it's a long quote, but I want to share it from Kobe Bryant. I really loved it because, it just gets to the core, actually, of what I'm speaking to here. The quote goes like, "What I try to do is just try to be still and understand that things come and go. Emotions come and go. The important thing is to accept them all, to embrace them all. And then you can choose to do with them what you want versus being controlled by emotion. It gives you the ability to unpack it for what it really is, nothing more than your imagination running its course." End quote. Well, you know, I mentioned Kobe earlier on as like one of the guys that we can admire very easily, you know, for his embodiment of masculinity, his trained capacity to be with intensity. This quote just really shows the inner landscape of like what he does. He's like just being still and understand things come and go, you know, emotions come and go. Just accept them, embrace them, then you can choose what to do with them. And choosing what to do with them, that's what I'm talking about. That's a masculine pole experience. When you choose what to do with them, you've disidentified from them. The emotions and your thoughts are not you. That's what Kobe is saying. Like, well, this is my commentary on it. He may not have used this way of describing it, but from the words that I would commonly use here, he would access like the witnessing awareness, his embodied consciousness that's looking on at all of this inner world stuff that's just happening. It comes, it goes, like a fear comes up, whatever, you know, it's like, and then he would choose what to do with it. And then realizing it's like you have the ability to unpack it for what it really is, which is nothing more than your imagination running its course in that moment. So whatever the emotions, whatever the thoughts that would come up, he wouldn't get caught up with them. He'd just be witnessing them, being this witnessing awareness, and it's like, cool. He learned that with experience. That's what I'm talking about. The intensity is how your nervous system reacts, not how the other person is showing up, not how your wife is showing up. So in all of this, it's my absolute expectation that you're getting the importance of this masculine core, this characteristic that is like just the core of what it means to be, you know, like a real authentic man in your strength. The core of masculinity is your capacity to be with intensity. And it's my full expectation that you're seeing the connection of how important that is in life and how important it is for your queen to witness that in you. Now, what does that look like in practice? Well, I'm bringing the masculine presence checklist. I'm calling it that. I'm bringing it in repeatedly as part of the culture here. It's not one of these things where, you know, and what I'm meaning by the masculine presence checklist is stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. If you're fresh to this episode as your first episode in the podcast, or you've only heard a couple of them and you haven't heard this before, okay, welcome to the party. But those of you that have been following, and I know there's like raising numbers of incredibly avid followers of what I'm speaking to here, and like I take that as beautiful feedback. I was on a call with with one of you potent guys. You know who you are. Well, I've actually, you know who you are. I've had it from several different guys over the months, but one there recently just like said to me, it's like, Mark, you know, it's like he was full of excitement just going, it's like, Mark, like I've just stopped listening to all other relationship and marriage podcasts. So, like, yours is the only podcast. And I really appreciated that. So, you know, those of you that have been listening in, I want you to hear core skill sets and mindsets and teachings. I want you to hear them again and again. This is fundamental. I want to get it in as part of the culture here, that you're like, oh, okay, that you can end up quoting this within yourself, the masculine presence checklist. If your relationship with emotional intensity has been that you've been tensing up in deep intimacy, in conflict with your woman, in the face of challenges with life, the masculine checklist, presence checklist, will really support you become aware of that tendency to tense up and bring it back to relaxed, to relaxation. The first thing is an if-then pre-commitment. If you notice yourself tensing up, then be quiet and drop into your body and actually touch base with the masculine presence checklist. That's dropping into your body. So it's like an if-then. Set an if-then in yourself. It's really important. You can listen to this and go, oh, you can get it all intellectually. You can actually be like inspired with radical clarity. It's like, man, yeah, I've been tensing up. I get it. You've brought, like, I have that insight. I now know. And you can listen to all the sort of cool things that are being said. And then, you know, a challenge hits you in marriage. A challenge hits you in life. And you forget it all. Because there's no part of your nervous system that has a triggered command prearranged to get you to snap into its go time. And that's what an if-then pre-commitment does. So you can set this within yourself. If I notice myself tensing up, then I'll be quiet and I'll drop into my body and just touch base with the masculine presence checklist. Stillness. If you notice yourself tensing up in the face of your woman, she's in your mind might be like giving you shit, she's giving you feedback, it's intense, but you can feel yourself in the intensity of what you're feeling in that moment, you're tensing up. I could call that you're going to heart closure, you're shutting down, you're losing structure. There's tons of different ways that conscious masculinity or teachers within the field of conscious masculinity can describe it. But if you're noticing yourself tensing up, then be quiet and you drop in. You drop into stillness, the first one. And you notice in the tension, your breathing will be different. In tension, your breathing can be rapid and it can be shallow. Very often it's like you tense up, you know, with fear, it becomes rapid and shallow. If you notice that, breathe deeply and slowly into your belly and shift to a non-judgmental witnessing awareness of your inner world. Just non-judgmental part of you. You're just getting curious. It's like meditation. The process of coming to know one's mind. You're getting into a witnessing awareness position in your mind where you're like, ah, okay, you're ready and curious to see and witness what else is going on in your mind and your nervous system in that moment. With practice, this can happen like almost instantaneously, but in the beginning, take a little bit of time to slow down and just give yourself time and space. Then you shift to sight. When we tense up, think about it. When you tense up, your eyes, your eyebrows, the wrinkles on your forehead, the facial muscles around your eyes will tense up. Your sight changes. Very often, if we're feeling like really spiky, there can be aggressive looks. It's like you might stare your woman out of it, or you might stare at the challenge and you just lock in with a steely look. But it's sort of aggressive in that moment. very often we look away. We're in total visual avoidance of our woman or of the, you know, the big tax bill that is after coming in, you're after opening up, and it's like it's just facing you full frontal with some major response that you need to take, and you're just looking away. You might even put that letter, I don't know, into the filing cabinet, out of sight, out of mind. You're avoiding it with your eyes. You become aware of this, soften your gaze consciously, just relax your forehead. Again, actually, we can tend to do this unconsciously. We start rubbing our forehead during intense moments. That's trying to relax the forehead muscles, and they're very closely linked to the eyebrows, the muscles to move the eyebrows, etc. Consciously relax them. Soften your gaze and hold it with ferocious courage and love. I say towards your challenge, because your challenge can be your wife in this moment or your life, whatever it is. Face up that letter and just say, hey, I'm going to face you. I'm not going to avoid you. I'm going to look at you directly. Shape. If you notice yourself tensing up, your body's going to tense up. You like there's postural communications of closure, of a lack of open-heartedness. You know, like you fold your arms, you clench your, and you make a fist with your hands, etc., etc. You're like facing away from your woman or the situation. Relax your body. Return to forward, open-hearted posture facing your woman or your life challenge. State. That's your emotional state. Name it to tame it. Just from that witnessing awareness, go, hey, there's a charge of anger in me now. Oh, I can feel there's anxiety live in me. Don't become it. Never say, I'm angry. I'm so anxious now. It's like that just the I, me, my monopolization of your entire being. Don't do that. It's an unskillful thing. It's like it's giving an enchantment spell, a spell of enchantment which enchants your entire nervous system to believe that, you know, I'm anxious. It's like every single cell in me is anxious. No, the witnessing awareness is like, oh, there's a charge of anxiety in me. Name it to tame it. Relax and let it be, and just having this awareness that this too will pass. And then story. Recognize shame and blame and shift to claim. Just shaming yourself. Oh, I fucked up again. You know, it's this situation, the tax bill or whatever. The boss is giving you shit, or there's some major challenge that you're having to confront. Maybe, I don't know, you go out. You're in a rush to go to a really important family function together, and the wheel of your SUV is flat. Like, do you curse it and, you know, curse the situation, shame yourself? You fucking should have known because you saw the tire was lacking air earlier in the day. You should have taken action. Shaming and blaming, just, it's useless. It adds nothing to the situation. And again, it brings tension. If when you follow shame and blaming thoughts, it brings and engenders tension into the system. Shift it to claiming. What am I not taking extreme ownership of in this moment? All of this, you know, you check in like that. You've noticed yourself tensing up, then you go quiet, you drop into your body, you go through the masculine presence checklist, you just make those subtle and maybe not so subtle adjustments that brings you back, breathing deeply, you know, softly gazing your woman or the situation. Your posture is relaxed. You're facing, embracing. You're facing it head on. You know, like we have this language. Oh man, you just need to face that head on. So you're facing it with your shape head on. You're embracing the moment physically. Your state, you're at one with it. You've disidentified. The emotion isn't taking you over. You're like, I have whatever in me. You might speak that into the space, but you definitely recognize it within yourself, and then you recognize the story and you shift to claiming thoughts. That is the practice of training your capacity to be with intensity, guys. And this, I cannot overstate how much of a turn on this becomes for your woman. You become her hero that she can count on through life or death, through whatever life throws your direction, whatever she throws your direction. She starts feeling you go, man, he just responds. He just shows up. He's like, he's a force of nature. There's just this core in him. And it's like, it's a different man that's in front of me. It's a guaranteed fact. It's like the physical and emotional and psychological, neurophysiological organism that brings about your woman's felt experience will respond in a more open way, in a more trusting way. Again, repetition is mastery for guys thinking, oh, but you don't know my woman. She doesn't respond that quick. And like she responds when I try anything, she just like, I try any of this sort of self-development stuff, she just responds with put-downs and she ridicules or whatever. And like, oh, she's just like a control freak. You don't know how traumatized my woman is. You know, if you guys, like I did want to, I did for 12 years, I really thought like I was a victim of circumstance, of it was because my woman was so traumatized that like my life was hell, my marriage was hell, and it was just, I was the poor bastard that just had to show up with the best intentions possible and, you know, deal with this the best I could and more cope with it than deal with it. Guys, that's just total victimhood as a stance. What that is asking from you, like, first of all women, all men, we've been traumatized. Modern society, everybody is traumatized. We've been traumatized by default by a system that engenders such a belief and such a systematic social setup that breeds disconnection. So we've all been traumatized. I would sort of like a direct masculine challenge and direct, like if I was talking with you directly, it'd be like, sort of, this is time to get over yourself. Get over that story. It's not helping. It's time to put that in the shelf. Again, it's a story. Shame and blame. You're blaming her for being in a certain way. Claim responsibility. What am I not taking extreme ownership of in this moment? And accept this. The height of your practice of presence must supersede the depth of her unconscious trauma and the world's unapologetic craziness in the moment. Your practice of presence must supersede that. That's embracing the intensity. You radically cut yourself, detach yourself from the outside world and how it's showing up through the embodiment of your wife on a day-to-day basis, but your life and what it fucks at you. You know, somebody passes, the economy changes, you're about to lose your job, somebody cuts you on the motorway, etc., etc. Whatever it is, you're independent of it. Your sovereign response is an inside-out job. That's your practice of presence. And that must supersede everything that life puts your way. This is what I'm talking about, that conscious masculinity, your capacity to be with intensity. That's the orientation. You attack life with a willingness to show up a little bit better, a little bit more present, with a little bit more progress. And doing that, I'm telling you, it's going to change everything in your marriage and in your sexual relationship. It's guaranteed. Only if you choose to get in connection with the courage of your balls and do this. Like, as we're coming into landing here, what links UFC stars, the likes of Kobe Bryant, Navy SEAL commanders, and the business gurus of the world, the billionaires, etc. They've all got training with feedback and high accountability. None of them have lone wolfed it. I'm putting this front and center without any apology. It's essential as men, as husbands, as heroic husbands, to accept in the most inspiring way imaginable that the role of being a husband at this time of history in humanity, in what is happening, the global political, social, economic situations, the shake-ups of what we're being bombarded with that seem completely out of control, and in some ways they are out of our control, but we're being bombarded with so much stimuli of fear-inducing stimuli that it's like we're just like, just paralysis by analysis. It's never been more extremely challenging to play the role of a husband, to lead with power, with directionality, with confidence and clarity in what it is you need to do as a man to support yourself, your wife, to spiritually evolve, to develop deep intimacy, and to ensure that if, you know, a majority of times there's, you're gifting the next generation, you know, with kids together, that you're gifting the next seven generations the type of kids that you can be proud of, that you're going to leave the world in a better place as a result of your parenting, as a result of the marriage and the connection you had with your woman, is going to have a healing influence on the seven generations after you. It's never been more intensely challenging than now. Your response requires training. To have your greatest response available, it requires training with feedback and accountability. As I say, that's what links UFC stars, Kobe Bryant, Navy SEALs, every one of them have got high flame coaching and feedback. And they have accountability as a core part of how they show up. There again, they embrace the intensity of it. And that is what's going to be happening in every single minute of every single meeting of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. It's training your capacity to be at one with intensity. The intensity of your marriage life, your communication, your sexual interactions and long-term deep intimacy with your woman. But also, by extension, your capacity to embrace the intensity of what it means to be a man in the world. Because how you embrace the intensity of your outside of the family home mission and situation as it changes, your woman is picking up on how you're doing that as well. She wants to know you're trustworthy in all of it. Now, this mightn't seem, and it didn't seem possible for me like 3.5-4 years ago. So just allow yourself a moment here to imagine beyond the field of what's showing up in your marriage right now. And I'm getting lots of messages from you guys, voice messages. I love hearing them, love responding to them. And I like so much praise and gratitude for you guys that are using that voice message capacity to just reach out to me directly. That's so valuable. But what I'm hearing is like there's a lot of shit on the ground. And hey, that's okay. But just for a moment, if you can put the situational reality and scenario that you're facing on a daily basis and imagine you could face it all with a relaxed and present composure. Like keeping grounded in immense trust within yourself. That you could face anything that your life or wife challenges you with. Can you imagine that level of radical confidence, there with immense trust in yourself? Can you imagine how turned on your wife would be around such an embodiment of unfuckwittable masculine presence? Can you imagine how her whole sexual energetic center, her whole psychology would respond with you being unshakable in the embrace of the intensity of her sexual fire, her fiery feedback, all her tempestuous lows and ecstatic highs? And she was witnessing you embracing the full intensity of all of life's challenges in your entire married life that you have created together. She's just witnessing you facing it all and actually seeing that you get turned on by the fire of the game. You get turned on, that you're finding this desire, this core capacity of consciousness, of conscious presence, that you actually get more energized the more she challenges you, the more life challenges you, and you keep meeting those challenges and realizing that you just love this game of unlimited spiritual expansion that's available to you as a man, as a lover, as a husband, as a father, as an entrepreneur, in any role that you play in life. That's what you embody and what she sees and witnesses and feels in your evolution as a man. How would that change? how your marriage is showing up, how she shows up and relates with you. When she's feeling that depth of safety and just your core trustworthiness is skyrocketing, she can release, relax, and be with her man so safe in the knowledge that her divine conscious king is showing up with a level of embodied conscious kingliness that is just she dreamed of. She knew it was there somehow, but she might have lost hope that it would ever show up. But can you imagine the look on her face and how she'd be responding with you, with it showing up better and better with progress every single day? Would you hungry for more feedback, hungry for the fire of life, because you know you constantly get better as a man and you just love that process? That is what is going to be happening systematically within heroic husbands, men circles. Guys, my invitation, name, my downright masculine challenge to you is check it out today. The link is in the podcast description. This is the core offering in the Be the Husband She Brags About movement, because that level of training, that level of accountability and holding a vision of the type of man, the type of husband and lover you can become, man, that's the name of the game. And what an exhilarating game it is. Coming into landing with such love, such open-hearted gratitude for all of you powerful, amazing, kingly brothers and heroic husbands listening in diligently with such awareness. And all the reports I'm hearing is you're so diligently taking what it is you can from these episodes and going into your marriage and putting into full practice. Man, so much appreciation and so much acknowledgement and love for you guys. Reminding ourselves why we do what we do here. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing kingly day.